Take your Bible this morning to Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah chapter 17, if you will. I want to give you some heart help this morning, all right? Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, the Bible says our heart is in a lot of trouble. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Boy, if verse 9 is true, and it is, and if verse 10 is true, and it is, then we need help for the heart, okay? Because the Bible says he searches it, he tries the reins, so he can give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings, and the fruit of that comes from the heart, all right? People are concerned about the heart today. We sing about the heart. There's a ton of songs about the heart. Old song, My Heart Belongs to Daddy, all right? Who was it saying, I Left My Heart in San Francisco, all right? A very famous guy whose name I can't remember. But he was a famous singer, and he got famous singing that way. Then there's a country singer that sang, I've Got a Humpty Dumpty Heart, all right? Now, I could sing that one for you, but not that it would be any good, worthwhile. But and then, of course, man, in the Christian song repertoire, there's tons, you know, Since Jesus Came Into My Heart. There's just over and over and over songs about it. A lot of singing about the heart. Doctors, on the other hand, they worry about your heart. They worry. I found out a long time ago, that if you go to the emergency room and you want quick help, you tell them you're having chest pains. They don't care about the rest of things, all right? I was in there one time, emergency room, with a kidney stone. And, man, I felt like warmed over death. You know, I felt terrible. And I went up to the counter, and I told her, and the lady said, well, have a seat right there. And I tried to sit right there, but I couldn't sit there very long. And I got up, and I came over back over to that counter, and I laid my head on that counter on my arm. And this woman came up and said, sir, are you all right? I said, man, I feel like I'm going to die, all right? And that was, do you have chest pains, all right, you know? And then there's been the time I did go to the hospital and said, yeah, I've got some pains right here. Get right here. Come through that door right here. Go right over there. And, man, you get quick service, all right? Doctors are concerned. So, hey, the question is, how about your heart? How about your heart? I can tell you about your heart. It's deceitful. It's desperately wicked because it's just like every other heart. But if you're going to get help, it starts with the diagnosis. Starts with the diagnosis, and the only one can diagnose your heart is the great physician. And the great physician has done that. He diagnosed it right here in verse 9. The first thing he said, the heart is deceitful. Deceitful. Think about it. It's the old man. It's that old fleshly nature that we have. It's deceitful. So what does that mean? Well, number one, it means you can't be trusted. It cannot be trusted. You can't trust your heart because it's a deceitful thing. Look, you would not trust anybody who you knew to be a deceiver. A deceiver. I learned a long time ago, when a politician is talking, don't believe everything they say. You can't trust them. They'll promise one thing, get elected, and do something different. I've always said, you know, technically it's illegal for me as a preacher to endorse a politician from the pulpit. But I'll be honest, I wouldn't want to. I wouldn't want to. Because I've seen some of them that, man, I thought, that's going to make a good servant, you know. And, well, I like what they say and like what they stand for. And maybe for a good while they did some right things. But then, boy, they got to a point and they just kind of made a 180. And I thought, man, if I'd endorsed that guy, I'd had to get up and say, hey, remember what I said about so-and-so? Well, forget it, all right? I'm not going to endorse them. Why? They can deceive you. If they deceive you, I'm not going to trust them. Well, the Bible said your heart is that way. Your heart is that way. And if it can't be trusted, then it cannot be followed. It cannot be followed because it will lead you astray. It will lead you astray. Some of the favorite advice people like to give today, when you come to them and they say, just follow your heart. Good heavens, don't do that. Don't just follow your heart because it's deceitful. It's deceitful. It can't be trusted. It will lead you astray. It can lead you astray. It can lead me astray. You can't just trust your heart. I've talked to people and they said, well, I'm going to marry so-and-so. I say, man, it's wrong. You shouldn't do that. But I love him or her. I say, you don't have to marry somebody just because you love them. You say, well, wait a minute, preacher. I thought that was the whole deal. No, that's not the whole deal. You can't trust your heart. Your heart will convince you of something sometimes that's wrong. Why? Because it's deceitful. It is deceitful. Can't be trusted. It can't be followed. But man, if that was enough, and that was all it was, that would be enough. But then notice what the Bible says. It's desperately, desperately wicked. Desperately wicked. Hey, not just a little bit wicked, but desperately wicked. Hey, it likes to sin. It wants to commit sin. It's that old nature. Let me remind you, if you want to turn with me over to Romans chapter 7, there's just a telling verse there, all right? And the Apostle Paul, writing under the inspiration of God, said this in verse 18 of Romans chapter 7. He said, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Why? Because our heart's desperately wicked. Our heart is desperately wicked. I mean, it'll make you want things you don't need. It will make you want things that will surprise you and think, I didn't ever think I could be that bad. But you can. You can. You can't trust it. Given just the slimmest chance, it will do wrong. It will take you to the wrong place, all right? It'll just take you to the wrong place. The Bible warns us when we talk about that diagnosis. What is it? Well, it's deceitful. It's desperately, desperately wicked. But not only that, I want you to see the heart is very deep. Notice the last phrase of verse 9. It says, who can know it? Who can know it? To really know the heart, to even know your own heart is a challenge. A man to claim to know the heart of somebody else, man, you better watch out. You better watch out. It's deep. It's deep. Now, that means it can be deep for love. That's a good thing. You know, and that's a good thing. For instance, how deep is the love of a mother for a child? How deep is the love of a mother for a child? You can't plumb those depths. When we hear of a woman doing something to harm her child, it absolutely shocks us, because the normal is for a mother is to have a deep love for her child. Now, if we heard one say, you touch my kid and I'll take your head off, that doesn't surprise us, because we understand the depths of a mama's love. There's a lady I'm thinking of right now. I'm not going to call her name. Most of you here don't know her. Few of you do. But I've been around her before, and she'd be saying something about some of her kids. And she said to so-and-so, this person did this. She said, I came over to them, and I stuck my finger right in their face. Did you do that again? I'll take you apart. She would. She would. Why? She loves her kids. Now, she don't mind telling you about the things they do wrong and how wrong they can be, but she loves them. The heart, boy, can be very, very deep for love. You can't plumb those depths. But not only just the love of a mother for a child, but how many times have we read or heard about the love of a soldier for his buddies? For those that are a part of his platoon, maybe, or part of his squad. It is not uncommon, and it is not even rare to hear the story of a hand grenade maybe being tossed into the hole there where the fellows are hunkering down, and that hand grenade comes in, and one of those soldiers is willing to take and dive on that hand grenade and give his life because how much he loves his fellow soldiers. It's not a rare thing. It happens. It's happened many, many times in warfare. Hey, the heart, it's deep. It's deep. It can be very, very deep for love, but it's not just able to be very deep for love. It can be very deep for hate. Man, it's amazing. It's almost unbelievable to me to see the hatred some people have for others who they don't even know. But they hate them anyway. There is that, we see it in the Middle East, the hatred of the Arabs for the Israelis. The Arabs for the Jewish people. There's a hatred across, and by the way, it's not just Arabs against Jews, but there's a ton of people in this world hate a Jew simply because he's a Jew. And things are written about them, and things are said about them, and there's just an intense hatred. It was so intense that Hitler was able to convince people over there to turn them in, and they slaughtered up to 6 million of them. And we've got people today hate the Jews so much to deny that even happened. Unbelievable. Hey, the hatred of the jihadists for Americans. That crowd back yonder on 9/11 that got in airplanes and flew them into buildings, trying their best to kill as many American people as they could, people they had never met, people they did not know, people who had never done a single thing to them. But I hate them because they're American. Hate them. Boy, we deal with race hatred. Race hatred. Some people hate people of another race enough to kill them. To just kill them because they're a different race. My soul, it's amazing. It's mind-numbing to think somebody could hate somebody that much. I mean, I can't conceive of that. Now, I hate OU, but I don't want to kill Sooners, okay? I don't really hate OU, but it's amazing, though, the people that hate. It's just a hatred. I don't understand it. The heart can be very, very deep. It can be deep for love, but it can be deep for hate, for hate. So when we talk about the diagnosis of the heart, well, we know one thing, it's deceitful. It's deceitful. Our God, the great physician, diagnosed our heart when he looked at it and he said, it's deceitful. He said, whose heart? Your heart. My heart. Oh, no, preacher, I fixed mine. No, you haven't. No, you haven't. It's deceitful. Now, that's desperately wicked. Desperately wicked. We look at things and we hear things and we think, boy, I don't say anybody could ever do that. But the truth of the matter is, given the right circumstances and the right everything falling in place, it's not impossible that we could do the same thing. We could do the same thing. It's desperately wicked. It's very, very deep. Who can know it? Who can know it? That's the diagnosis. Well, I told you this morning I want to try to give you some help for your heart. So what's the remedy? What's the remedy? you got a deceitful heart, you got a desperately wicked heart, what's the remedy? Number one, it needs to be washed. It just needs to be washed. So what do you mean? Well, it needs to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. That's it. It needs to be washed. Hey, you need to be born again. You need to be born again. You can state it however you want to put it. Some people talk about it, well, I gave my heart to Christ. I trusted Christ. The terminology doesn't bother me. Some people get upset. Well, you shouldn't say it that way. Well, I think people are trying to say it the best way they can, all right? Trying to get it out the best way they can. But what it means, what it boils down to, is your heart needs to be washed in the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. That blood he shed on the cross for me and for you, our heart needs to be washed. It needs to be washed. But I'll say this to you. That one washing will give you eternal life. Give you eternal life. The Bible said, you know, that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hey, if you'll come to him, trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, he'll save your soul. He'll give you eternal life. That's the only way to get that heart washed in the blood. But here's what you're going to find out. Here's what you're going to find out. Every now and then you need to wash again. Now, wait a minute, not to be saved. I'm not preaching heresy, okay? Not to be saved. But I want you to go over to go to Ephesians chapter 5, would you? Ephesians chapter 5. Every now and then, I don't know about y'all, I'm assuming the biggest majority of you, probably either you showered this morning or you took a bath this morning or last night. All right? And now, most of you, I'm relatively certain, plan to do so before next Saturday again, right? You're not putting it off, okay? I used to be an old saying, I took a bath on Saturday night, whether I needed it or not, okay? But most of you are planning to take another one between now and next Sunday, okay? Why? Well, we get dirty. Here's what the Bible says. All right, here's what the Bible says in Ephesians 5, verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Hey, the word of God can help cleanse you. The word of God can help cleanse you. And the Bible here is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, how he loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Hey, but the word of God also will cleanse you, okay? It will cleanse you. It's a good thing to wash in the Bible, okay? Now, why? You need to keep that old heart washed, okay? You need to keep it washed just a little bit, all right? So that deceitful heart must be washed. But the second thing, if you're going to take care and there's a remedy for you, that old heart must be watched. Somebody's got to keep an eye on it. Somebody has to keep an eye on it. It needs to be watched with a spiritually discerning eye. Spiritual discernment. Now, a lot of people today, we're so concerned about our physical condition of our heart physically. 2006, I was out walking. It was a mistake. I was out walking, and all of a sudden, I got this feeling in my chest, and it just wouldn't go away. It wasn't a pain, really, and it wasn't. And I'd always heard people talking about heart attack. Man, it's an elephant sitting on my chest. Well, that wasn't the way it was with me. With me, the pressure was coming from within. So I sat down, and it went away. So I got up, I started walking in, came back. I said, well, the cure for this, quit walking. All right? Man, you just got to be careful. You over-exercise yourself, you know. And so I went home. My daughter was with me. When I got home, my wife was already in bed, and I didn't say anything to her. But, man, the next morning, I woke up, and I had that same feeling. But, man, I began to sweat. I began to feel nauseated. And I got up, and I sat down in the recliner. It didn't help it. Nothing helped. And then So finally, I went and told my wife. I said, you know, I think you better get up. I think I need to go to the hospital. She said, man, you got another kidney stone? I said, no, it's in my chest. You never seen her jump out of the bed so quick in all your life, man. Boy, she was out of there, and we're off to the hospital. And, man, just a day or so later, I've got two stents in my chest, all right? And they're worried about it. I was going to have gallbladder surgery, and they said, well, we've got to check your heart first. Got to see how shape it's in. They get worried. We worry about the physical side, and we look with a physical eye at the heart. But you hear me, you need to look at it with a spiritual discerning eye. You need to check out what it is you're loving. You need to check out what it is you're wanting. You need to keep an eye on that thing. Hey, you may need to get some help and recruit some help to help you keep an eye on it. You may need to talk to other people and say, hey, listen, you help me out in my life because I don't always understand where I'm going, and I need you to help me watch. If you see me straying off, you let me know. You let me know. Now, as a preacher, I try to do that, and I get worried about people. I try to look them in the eye and say, look, I'm concerned about you. I talked to somebody this last week. And I said, look, I don't want to make you mad. You're my friend, but I want to talk to you. I'm a little bit concerned. I'm worried. Talk to him. Hey, that's what we ought to do. Eternal vigilance, all right? Because since it's deceitful, you can't ever think that everything is okay. Because it'll fool you. You got to be careful. You can't think, everything is okay, I'm in good shape, no problem. Nope. Keep an eye on it. It needs to be washed. It needs to be watched. But I'll tell you something else. The desperately wicked heart has to be restrained. Has to be restrained. In the world, when the world says, if you want to stay out of trouble, you just need to keep them busy. I've heard of midnight basketball. They have these things to keep juveniles and people that aren't juveniles anymore, but keep them out of trouble. We'll have midnight basketball. We'll just keep them busy, keep them busy. Hey, listen, the only way you're going to take care of that old desperately wicked heart, you've got to put some restraint on it. You've got to put some restraint on it. You cannot live your life according to the dictates of your own heart. You can't do it. That's one reason we have laws. We have laws. Look, I don't like speed limit laws any better than you do. I've been in numerous places wondering, why is the speed limit so low? In Georgia, out in the country, divided highway, four-lane road, big median in the middle between those four lanes. Nothing out there. 55 miles an hour. My foot rebelled against that. I didn't understand it. I don't hear you. Hear me. I don't like speed limit laws, but we need them. We need them. We need those laws, all right? Because you can't live according to the dictates of your own heart. The world is filled with people that think they're Mario Andretti. Or whoever the top drivers are now, I don't know, okay? Jeff Gordon, he's retired. Every name I can think of, they're no longer driving, okay? But y'all get the idea, right? They think, I'm a race car driver. I've got the reflexes, man. I'm going. No, you don't. That's the reason we drive down the highway and you see a perfectly good car upside down. Because some fool thought they could do it. All right? They just thought, well, I can do that. One car wreck, one car accident, here it is upside down. What were you thinking? Hey, that we have to restrain this old heart. That's why we have laws, all right? Every man cannot do that which is right in his own eyes. We can't turn everybody loose and say, hey, just do what you think is right. If we did that, what we have is anarchy, okay? You can't do it. You have to restrain this heart. That's why there's laws. Hey, that's why God sent us a law book. That's why he sent us a law book. He said you can't do just what you want to do. Just can't do it. Hey, there's some people in this world that delight in thumping other people. They delight in, I'm bigger than you are, I can whoop you. I'll bully you around. I'm glad there's laws that prevent it. I'm glad there's somebody that'll stand up and say, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. You're not allowed to. You know, hey, God sent this book to restrain the heart of man. Those things where he said, thou shalt not, they're there to restrain man. They're there to restrain man, to hold us in, keep us in line, okay? It's desperately wicked. It has to be restrained. But now hear me. It is very, remember what I said, the last diagnosis about the heart is very deep. It's very deep. That deep heart must be filled. That deep heart must be filled. Now the wicked of this world fill it with the filth of this old world. They fill it with the filth of this world. That is why pornography is such a major problem. Major problem. People fill that deep heart with filth. With filth. And by the way, you get enough filth in there, you can't live with yourself, so you look for dope to make you feel good or to make you forget the way you feel. Hey, you can't. This wicked world, it fills a heart with filth. And there's plenty, plenty of filth. It's in the movies. It's in the magazines. It's in the books. It's not so much in books anymore because people don't want to take time to read. It's still in the books, but man, it's big time in the movies and television, and it's just filled with it. Hey, why? Because that old heart's going to be full. It's going to be filled. It's deep. It's going to be filled with something. The wicked fill it with the filth of the world. The foolish fill it with what's popular. With what's popular. Foolish people. Man, my mind's going so many ways right now, so many illustrations. The foolishness of people is just mind-numbing. Look, popularity is very fleeting. Very fleeting. We foolish people fill their heart with things like Twitter following people like the Kardashians. Like they're important. Man, you know, we fill our lives with that kind of stuff. I'd heard of the Kardashians for years before I ever saw one of them. And after I did, I thought, what? It's the foolish of this world that read that stupid stuff on all them dumb magazines there at Walmart there, you know, where you're checking out all that pulp junk. And it's not necessarily filth, but it's foolishness. Who cares? I love, you know, I told y'all, Mom started getting those. Now, Mom got in her older age, she couldn't say no. And so people would call her up and say, hey, well, you can support. Now, you don't have to give us anything, but if you'll buy this magazine subscription. So my mom, they're still coming to our house. She's been dead over 2 years, all right? She's been dead well over 2 years, all right? And they're still coming. She had paid up subscription for eternity, I think, all right? And they come, and occasionally I look at one of them, and I've opened it up, and I've seen, they always have this one thing in there that says, famous people are just like us. They go to the store. I thought, well, I'm glad I read this. I never would have known it. I'm so amazed. They go to the store. Whoa. You know, foolish. Foolish. We fill our heart with that which is popular. Boy, so fleeting. Popular, man, it is gone. Here today, gone tomorrow. It's so temporary. And we want to fill our heart with that. Man, what a thing. The wise man, though, fills his heart with truth. The wise man fills his heart with truth. It starts when the Holy Spirit comes in at salvation. Because I guarantee you the wise man's going to get saved. The wise man's going to look and say, okay, heaven, with all the glory and all the joy and all the beauty and all the happiness and all the light, or hell, suffering, torment, darkness, such a hard decision. No, man, it's the easiest decision in the world. Give me heaven. Give me the Lord. I don't want anything to do with the devil. He lies. He's a liar from the beginning. And all of that, and not a hard, a wise person immediately says, I'll take Christ. I'll take Christ. Christ comes in at salvation. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. The Holy Spirit comes and he will help you to discern what's true. I said the wise man fills his heart with truth. The Holy Spirit is there to help you discern between truth and error. The Holy Spirit's there. If you'll listen to him, he'll point it out. He'll say, that's not true. That's not true. He'll help you do it. Hey, the wise man fill his heart with the word of God. John 17:17 says, thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. Psalms 119:11, thy word have I hid in my heart. Why? I want the truth. I want the truth. I want to know the truth. We live in a day when it comes in this world of we live in. It is so hard to discern what's true. What we see on the news media and what we see on so many of the media outlets is not true. And the only truth that they give us is what they want us to have. You've got to go past that. And you listen to people speak, and you have to listen with discernment and think, is that really true? Is that really true? Hey, the wise man wants the truth. You fill your heart with the word of God, and you get enough of that in you, and it is a light under your path, all right? It is. It's a lamp for your feet. You know what it'll do? It'll help you discern the truth, or it'll help you discern what's false. You said, you mean even when somebody's talking? Yes. It can, it will. It'll help you. It'll help you do it. Hey, wise man fills his heart with truth. Take your Bible, go to Isaiah chapter 65, would you? Isaiah chapter 65. Isaiah is the book right in front of Jeremiah. Isaiah chapter 65. I flipped way over and skipped past 65, all right? All right, Isaiah 65. Would you look at verse 14? Verse 14, behold, my servants shall sing for joy of heart. My servants shall sing for joy of heart. You know what? You fill your heart with the joy of the Lord. You fill your heart with the joy of the Lord. That's what it ought to be filled with, the joy of the Lord. God comes in, and as you read his word, and you partake of the word of God and you ingest that, you fill your heart with truth, man, you're going to get the joy of the Lord, all right? Bible said the joy of the Lord is my strength. And it is. You get that joy in there. That's why you can go down the road singing and having a good time. You can have a lilt to your voice and life is wonderful. You get in Walmart, and I know those people think I'm kidding. Walmart, the reason I don't like self-checkout because I feel like a fool talking to a machine. And I like to go and I like to have the cashier, you know, cashier says, how you doing? Did you find everything you need and all that? How are you doing? I said, man, I'm just having a good time. I'm having the time of my life. I mean, what could be better? Here I am at Walmart shopping, you know. And they laugh, and it's a skeptical laugh, all right? They don't believe you. But I'll be honest, I'm having the time of my life, okay? I'm enjoying God's good. I'm just enjoying life. The joy of the Lord fills my heart, and I'm able to tell them, hey, I'm having a big time. Why? Because there's something inside of me. The truth is there. And I want to keep it there. I want to keep my heart filled with that truth. filled with the joy of the Lord. I want to keep my heart restrained, because if it's not, I know what I'll do. Could you hurry up? You're the slowest cashier I've ever been around in my life. Well, now, what does that benefit anybody? That doesn't help you. Now, I will warn you, if you ever see me at Walmart or anywhere else where there's a line, get in the other line. Because the line I'm in is always the slowest line. Every time. I get in the line and I finally get up there and I'm next. And the person says, "Ooh, I forgot. I need to run and get one last thing." Or, "I've got this coupon." "Ma'am, that coupon expired 6 months ago." "Won't you please take it? It's only 6 months." "Come on, lady or man, move on. Won't you just get out of the way?" Hey, my heart, I know what it'll do. I know what it'll do. Man, I know I got to keep it restrained. I got to keep it restrained. Sometimes I just have to grip the handle of the buggy. "God, don't let me say what I want to say. Don't let me say it." Hey, you got to restrain it. It's deep. It needs to be filled. Fill it with the joy of the Lord. Hey, fill it with praise. Go to Psalms, would you? Psalms 111. There's well, there's no telling how many verses we could read in Psalm, but Psalms 111. We'll read just a couple. Psalms 111, verse 1. "Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. Praise ye the Lord." Look at Psalms 138. Psalms 138, verse 1. "I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee." I will praise thee. Hey, fill your heart with praise. Fill your heart with praise. Too many people in our day, we've filled our heart with complaints. We've filled our heart with complaints. I go to the bank. There's a teller at the bank where we go to, and he always says, "How you doing, man?" He says, "Oh, I can't complain." And he always says, "I can't complain." I said, "Sure you can. We all can. But it's better if you choose not to. It's just better if you choose not to." I mean, who has nothing to complain about? I mean, absolutely nothing. We, all of us got, if we thought and tried, we could think of something. We could think of something. Some of you wouldn't have to think too hard. You'd think back about breakfast. Man, we burned the toast. We burned the toast, all right? The eggs were cooked too hard. They were too well done. And, you know, the sauce or the bacon wasn't crisp enough. Or it was too crisp, whichever way you like it, okay? Man, there's something. Every one of us, we could find something to complain about. I mean, if we can, but it's best if you don't. A lot better if you dwell on the goodness of God. Now, the truth of the matter is God's done so much for us. We have got so much more to just brag about. I've got this quote written in my Bible, in the back of my Bible. I heard Brother Claude Sutton say it. He got it from somebody else. He said, "The Lord gives us more to shout about than to pout about." I think, oh, yes, he does. But we pout more than we shout. Hey, we ought to praise. Our heart ought to be filled with praise. Filled with praise. I said it's deep. It can be deep for love. It can be deep for hate. How about filling it with love? How about just deciding you're going to love people? How about just deciding you're going to love people? I mean, I believe with all my heart you make a decision. You make a decision. You need to love them or not. If you decide to love, you can. You can. Here's your heart. Here it is. It's desperately wicked. It's deceitful. Very deep. Very deep. But God says to us, hey, wash it. Watch it. Restrain it. And fill it. Fill it. Now, I'll tell you this, it's so deep, it'll hold a lot more than you think it can. It'll hold a lot more. Hey, do you keep yourself washed spiritually with this book right here? Do you do that? Do you watch yourself? Is anybody helping you? You got somebody helping you? You got somebody say, I know I can count on them. If I start messing up, they'll come. They'll point it out. They'll let me know where I'm going wrong. They'll do it. Hey, how much restraint have you put on it? How much restraint have you put on it? And lastly, what fills your heart today? What fills your heart? Is it the filth of the world, the foolishness of the world? Or is it truth? Man, is the truth of the Word of God fill your heart? Is it filled with joy and praise, love? What fills it? It's your heart. It's deceitful. It's desperately wicked. Who can know it? But what are you doing about it? What are you doing? Hey, if you're not saved, you can get saved today. Never trusted Christ your Savior? You can trust Him today. You can come today. You're here as a Christian. That old heart still needs some work. All the time, all the time. Are you doing it? Are you taking care of it? Would you stand, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed this morning? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. Lord, you pointed out for us the truth about our heart. It is deceitful. It is desperately wicked. Lord, it's very deep. And Lord, it demands attention, it demands restraint, it demands to be filled. But Lord, how we restrain it, how we fill it, it's up to us. Whether or not we watch it, whether or not we wash it, it's up to us. Lord, would you help us see our need today? And Lord, if there's folks here and they need to come use the altar, Lord, help them to come. No shame in walking forward and bending the knee at the altar. They can't kneel here. Lord, come sit on that front pew just to do business with you. Lord, help us to admit our condition. Be honest. And Lord, to come with an open heart and allow you to work on it. Allow you to fill it. Lord, help us to deal with those things we need to today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We sing this morning the invitation, page 390, Is Thy Heart Right with God? It's hard to pick a better song than that. Is thy heart right with God? If you need to come, you come. If you need to see me, I'll meet you here. You come on while we sing.